So you see the pasuk says in the Megillah, it says, "Yemei Purim Elo Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim V'Zichrom Lo Yosus Mizarim." Pasuk says that Mikra Megillah is never going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. The days of Purim will never be forgotten. So Yishalmi says on this, it says that we see that it'll never be forgotten. It said even Lasid Lavo, when all the Nevi'im and Ksuvim are basel, but Mikra Megillah will still be around. Right? That's what it learns from V'Zichrom Lo Yosus Mizarim. So it's very interesting, why should that be? What's the daf about Purim that it lasts forever? There's also, this point is emphasized in the Shoshanas Yaakov. Right? The Paitan says, Chuasam Yisra Lenetzach, you were the Yeshua Lenetzach for eternity. V'sikvasam b'kol dar v'dar. Lo diya shakol kovecha lo yevoshu lenetzach. Right, that you should know that kol kovecha lo yevoshu lenetzach, that forever Klal Yisrael lo yevoshu. It's an interesting thing. Why is it making a point that it's lenetzach? The point is we were menatzach over Haman. That there was a Yeshua then. But we see that there's a point made that the victory over Amalek is gufa modia that Klal Yisrael will never be batal, that no one will ever succeed in destroying Klal Yisrael, that there's a nitzchius to Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, we also in the Torah of Parshas Zachar, so when Shmuel is giving Shaul HaMelech Musar for not destroying Amalek, so he tells him, Hashem's going to punish you, v'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishakev lo yisnachem. He tells him, you should know that you're going to be punished, and netzach Yisrael will never be misnachem. Gufa is something to do with Shaul, not defeating Amalek, in some way pogeya in the netzach Yisrael. I'd like to see tonight, why exactly is that? And we'll see that Bechlal, if we look at Amalek, we'll see that the whole root of what it is about Amalek, why it is that Amalek hates Klal Yisrael so much, it's really all built on his opposition to the Emunah that Klal Yisrael has in Nitzchis. We'll see, Be'ez Hashem, that's the whole story of Amalek, is that it opposes Klal Yisrael's Emunah in Nitzchis. So first, the first root of Amalek, the first place we see the Shayush of Amalek, right, we have to start in Amalek's grandfather. Right? Amalek is the grandson of Esav. And we see something very interesting by Esav. That by Esav, in Parshas Toldos, when Esav is relinquishing the Bechor to Yaakov Avinu, so Esav says to Yaakov Avinu, he says, I'm ready to sell the Bechor to you. He says, Hinei anochi holech lamos, I'm going to die, but lamos ali v'chayra. What do I need the v'chayra for? I'm going to die anyway. So, in the, there's a Medrash Haggadah on this pasuk. It says, what does he mean? What's he saying? I'm going to die, so what do I need the v'chayra? He's saying that Esav was saying here that I know what the v'chayra is. V'chayra means to be the one to do the avodah. The one who's the Kohen, who does the Avodah Hashem, brings Korbanos, is the Bechor. He says, what do I need it for? What do I need Avodah Hashem for? Hinei anochi holech lamos, I'm going to die anyway. He says, I don't see any tachlis in Avodah Hashem, because anyway I'm going to die. The Medrash says that whether I do Avodah or I don't do Avodah, either way I'm going to end up dying. So what's the tachlis? And for that reason, Esav rejects the Bechor. And that's where the whole Shayrish we'll see of Amalek, that it's rejecting the tachlis because it's saying there is no tachlis, there is no nitzchias, hinei anochi holech lamos, lamos eli v'chayra. We see that when Bilam is talking about Amalek, he says about Amalek, reishis goyim Amalek, achriso ade oved. That he says about Amalek, achriso ade oved, his achris, right, his end is ade oved, it's forever destroyed. And for some reason, Bedafka Amalek has this in of Achriso Ade Ovid, that Amalek does not have an Achris. And the reason is because he rejects the whole idea of there being an Achris. He doesn't believe in an Achris, he doesn't believe in Nitzchis. But Mela, Amalek's whole Metzias is Achriso Ade Ovid. There's an interesting medrash on the Megillah. Nestor Rabbah, we find that Mordechai says to Asach, He says to him, it says, Vayagi los kolasha karahu. He tells Hasach everything that happens to him. And he uses the lashon of karahu, what happened to him. So the Medrash says that Mordechai was telling Hasach, ben beno shel karcha ba'aleinu, that everything that happened to us from Haman, karahu, is because Haman is a descendant of Amalek, and about Amalek it says, asher karcha ba'derech, that Amalek happens upon you. So it says, ben beno shel karcha. So it's very interesting that by Amalek, everything that Amalek does is called Mikra. It's called the Lashon of Mikra. Right, so Derech Klal, you know, our Amunah is that there's nothing in the world that's Mikra. But by Amalek, the Mice of Amalek are called Karcha. It's called Asher Karah. It's called Mikra. So the Maral explains, say for our Chadash, he says that the reason why Amalek is called Mikra, he says it's Gufa, because Amalek is Achrisa Adi Oved. Amalek has no tachlis. Normally, everything in the world is done al pi tachlis. But the whole mitzvah of Amalek is that he has no tachlis. He's achrisa adi ovei. Therefore, his ma'isim are characterized that they're not l'tachlis. They're called mikra. Everything by Amalek is in those mikra. Because that's gufa Amalek's belief. Amalek believes that there is no tachlis in this world. Very interesting medrash. It's brought in the Yalkut Shmoni in Beshalach when Yeshua goes out to fight Amalek, so it says, Vayachlosh Yeshua es Amalek ves Amal afichareth. He weakens Amalek and his nation. So the Medrash is bothered by the Lashon Vayachlosh. What's the Lashon Vayachlosh? So the Medrash there points out that the word Vayachlosh could mean to make a goral. It points out actually a Mishnah in Shabbos. In Shabbos, Kuf Mem Ches, the Mishnah uses a Lashon of Matzil Chaloshim ala Kodshim. The Gemara explains that the word chalosh means a goro. So the Medrash says there that after Yeshua defeated Amalek, it says he put gorolos on the people of Amalek, and he said which one of the Amalekim he would kill. And he did this by a goro. It's an interesting thing. Why would he do that? The Hezbo L'chair is because he's goof by Amalek. Amalek's whole Messias is Mikra. There's no reason for anything. There's no reason for their life b'chlal. He's good for showing that in the way he's killing Amalek. He's putting gorillas on them. Which means, l'chor, that there's no reason. He's killing this one. This one's going to live. This one's going to die. Why? Not because of any tachlis that one should live, one should die. That's the way the gorilla came out. Right? It's showing it's total mikra. And that, l'chor, is the reason why Haman, he cast gorillas on Klal Yisrael. Right? Because the whole day is called Purim. Right, the whole is tremendous significance to the fact, which seems in the Megillah, seems like to be a side point, really, that Haman chose the day for killing Klal Yisrael, so he chose it by a Gora. But the reason that this is really so significant to the Gora is because that's exactly what Haman's trying to say. Haman's trying to say, Klal Yisrael, you think you have a tachlis? He wants to tell Klal Yisrael, you're just like me, you're no different. There's nothing special that you, Klal Yisrael, you think you have such a nitzias? I'll put gorolos on you. This mamish, you're also mikra. There's no tachlis to you. There's no tachlis to what happens to you. It's totally given over to the mikra. It's totally given over to the poor. That's the Klal that Haman wants to show, right? He's very bothered by Klal Yisrael having this idea that we have a tachlis, right? Amalek himself is happy with his understanding of life. Right? He understands life that I'm holy chlamas. There's no real tachlis here. We live while we're here, and that's it. But what does he see? He sees that Mordechai isn't bowing down to him. He sees Mordechai is a tzaddik, saying I'm not going to give cover to Haman. He sees that Mordechai seems to think that he has some chashivas over Haman. Right? That's what he tells his family. He tells him he has so much osher and covet. It's all worth nothing to me when I see Mordechai. If he sees Mordechai and sees that Mordechai is someone who really has a nitzchias, has some tachlis, and he realizes that everything he has is low shoveli. The male, everything he has, all of his possessions, it's worthless. Right? What? It's a few more years of enjoyment, but what worth is that? It's all low shoveli. So what does he want to do? Right? He doesn't want to just kill Mordechai. Right? Killing Mordechai, what would that do? Hey, Mordechai, okay, he'll die. And the basic emunah Mordechai has is, I'm dying, and I'm going to have an itzchis. Right? Mordechai is not scared of dying. If he wants to do the Mordechai, so no, Klal Yisrael has no tachlis. It's not that there is no tachlis. There is no nitzchis to Klal Yisrael. He wants to completely wipe Klal Yisrael off the face of the world. Why? To show that there is no tachlis to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says that we're the Netzach Yisrael. There's no such thing. There's no nitzchis to Klal Yisrael. And maybe that's another very interesting thing we find by Amalek. Amalek is connected with Meriras, bitterness. It's a totsah of his general hashkafa of the world is that Amalek has Meriras. We find that the first place in the Torah that the word Mar is used is by Esav. It says that when Esav realizes that Yitzhak Avinu gave the brach to Yaakov, and he's not happy he gave the brach to Yaakov, so it says, "Vayitzak ta'aka gidolo mara." He let out a great and bitter cry. There's a great and bitter cry. What's the bitterness? The bitterness is he's realizing the taka. He sold the bechar, and now his father is also going along with it, and that he's lost his possibility of becoming the tachlis of the world. He's lost his position. And when he realizes that, Hitaka has some zuchus that he realizes that. And he lets out this great and bitter scream. So the Medrash says there, it says, where did he pay back Yaakov Avinu for causing him to come to this? So it says he paid him back in Shushan. But in Shushan, we see the same exact lashon by Mordechai. It says, Vayizak za'aka gidolo umara. Right? Because what was Haman doing to Mordechai? He wants to show Mordechai, you have no tachlis. He was trying to say, there's no tachlis to Klal Yisrael. It's all over. Right, so what does that do? That brings it out of Meriras. And that was Haman's goal, to bring out a feeling of Meriras that there's no tachlis. It's pointed out, Amalek is Gematria Mar. Now, Torah of Zachar, you see that Agag, the king of Amalek, before he's killed, he says, the chen sar mar hamavet. He says, the bitterness of death is coming to me. Right, for some reason, the Navi mentions this. He gives a new name to death. Amalek calls death mar hamavet, the bitterness of death. But there's a tremendous bitterness. What's the bitterness? Because there's no tachlis after it. The death is the end. And Bechlal, this is really the chet of Klal Yisrael, right? Had a Klal Yisrael end up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Haman to attack them. So Gufet says they were none of Misudasu Shal Achashverosh. That the chet was that they went to Achashverosh to Suda. It's very interesting. The Gemara says, why did Achashverosh make the Suda? So the Gemara says in Megillah Yir Aleph, it says a different reason, and the Megillah says why Achashverosh made the Suda. It says that Achashverosh did a cheshbin, and he cheshbin that 70 years passed to Klal Yisrael's galus. He had some different cheshbin, and if his cheshbin, 70 years had elapsed since Daniel's Nevuah that is going to be 70 years of galus. And I'll repeat that cheshbin, he said, Klal Yisrael is lost forever. He said, there's never going to be a Beis HaMikdash anymore. We see this, those 70 years have passed. It's gone. There's no more hope for Klal Yisrael. The Mele says, let's make a Suda. Let's celebrate. And what does he do? He brings up the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he shows his Kelim with the Suda. He says, look, there's no more Suda anymore. There's no more Beis HaMikdash anymore. There's no more hope for Klal Yisrael. Come, let's rejoice in this Suda, my Suda. And Klal Yisrael went to that Suda. And they're Gufa accepting a little bit. We're in Galus. We lost the Beis HaMikdash, and we're taka lost. There's no nitzchis to us. There's no hope for us. And it was that koyach that brought along Amalek, brought along Haman. Let me see, where's the shayrish to this? Where's the shayrish, the ultimate shayrish of this koyach of Amalek? Where does it come from, the koyach of Haman, this koyach of Meriris, a feeling that people feel in this world? Meriras, they feel a sense that there's no tachlis, that people are bothered by a sense there's no tachlis in this world. So where's the ultimate root for this? So we see the Gemara tells us in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. The Gemara asks, Haman min ha-Torah minayin? Where do we see a remnant to Haman in the Torah? So the Gemara answers, it's seen from the Pasuk, Mi higid lechem ki arumim atem? Hashem says to Adam and Chava, who told you that you're naked? Hamin ha-eit. Did you eat from the egg? So Hamin ha'eitz, the word Hamin is Haman. That's the shayrish of Haman in the Torah. So what's the shayrish of Haman? The shayrish of Haman is Hamin ha'eitz is the result of the eight. He's saying, is this from the eight? Is this the result of the eight hadas? So what's the whole shayush of Haman? He's the result of the Eitz Hadas. So what's Haman? What's the result of the Eitz Hadas? That B'yom Acholcha Mimeno Tamas. That Eitz Hadas brings Misa into the world. He takes people from being Nefesiyas and he lowers them into people that have Misa. So in Gufa, what Haman is, he's embodying that Hamin HaEitz, that Misa that comes up from the Eitz Hadas. That Misa, the Koyach of Misa, the Eitz Hadas, it's embodied in Haman himself. And the mail is very interesting, because what does Haman want to do? He wants to hang Mordechai on an eighth. Why on an eighth? We see Rashi says in Chulin, this Gemara in Chulin, and this, the same thing is in Esther Rab or Perek Tes, makes the same point. The remez to Haman is Hamin ha-eighth. So Rashi says that what's the Hamin ha-eighth? Haman has a sheikhis to eighth. He says, that's the eighth which Haman made. Go for the eighth that Haman made, and Haman is hung on it. Rashi says in Chulin, that's Hamin ha-eighth. That Haman is tied to the eighth. Haman eventually is hung on the eighth. What's the inin? The inin is that Haman's eighth, that tree he made in Shushan, that eighth he made in Shushan, is goof from merumas to the eighth hadas. It's not stam and eighth, but it's merumas to the eighth hadas. And the end is that Haman is taka connected to Eitz Hadas. What's very interesting is, why does Haman make this eight? He makes this eight to hang Mordechai on the eight. Right? So what's it mean he wants to hang Mordechai with Dafka on an eight? And the eight is Gufa, Rashi tells us, it is Mirame to Eitz Hadas. That's Gufa, exactly what Haman wants to show. He wants to show, look Mordechai, you think you're doing Avodas Hashem, you think you have a tachlis, you have something over me. You're going to end up with the Eitz Hadas just like me. Everyone's going to die. The Tzaddikim are also going to die. You think there's a difference? That's exactly what Esav said. He said, what's the difference you do have all? You're a Tzaddik, you're not a Tzaddik. Everyone ends up the same way. They end up dead. So that's what Haman sees. Haman wants to show everyone that Mordechai is also going to end up on the Eitz Hadas. This Tzaddik is no different. And Haman doesn't see past the Eitz Hadas. He sees that's it. The Eitz Hadas is everyone has Misa. There is no Tzaddik. And the Mail of Eretz says another very interesting thing. What does the Gemara say in Megillah Yud Aleph? The Gemara says that Haman was very happy when he saw his poor came out on Adar. Why was he so happy? He says he was so happy that the poor came out on Adar because Moshe Rabbeinu dies in Adar. He says, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael Gufa in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu dies. It's a very interesting thing. Why is that so great for Haman? That's the greatest month. The greatest month that he could have to get Klal Yisrael is because Moshe Rabbeinu dies. I mean, every month someone dies, right? Moshe Rabbeinu dies. The Hezbar is that's the whole point of Haman. That's what's driving Haman. That even Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Even a Moshe Rabbeinu, a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, still dies. And why would that go that Moshe dies? Moshe Rabbeinu is the complete antithesis of Haman. He's the one in the world who came the closest to overcoming the Eitz Hadas, who cannot get Nefchias. Right? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu is Karn Arpanav, right? His whole face shone. That there's a Kedusha to his guf that no one else had. Right, and that Kedusha of his guf came with that from the fact that Moshe really was connected to Netzchias. He really was above Eitz Hadas. Because how do you get the Karen R? So Rashi says in Shabbos Peches, the Gemara really says there, that he got the Karen R because Klal Yisrael has Sinai, they got these ornaments. It says that after Shvirat Haluchos, it says, V'yinatzlu b'nei Yisrael as Evyon Mehachorah. That they took off the ornaments that they had received on Har Sinai. And the Midrash says, what were these ornaments? So different sheets, exactly what they were, crowns or armor. But the Midrash says that these ornaments were what gave Klal Yisrael the ability never to die. So if the Malach HaMelech saw Klal Yisrael wearing these ornaments, these crowns, whatever they were, the Malach HaMelech couldn't approach them. That before the Shviras Haluchos, Chazal say that there was no Misa. Klal Yisrael was made free of the Malach HaMavis. What happens after the Chet? So all of Klal Yisrael returns to the Gzeres of Misa, But who doesn't get the Gezeres of Misa? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who forgets these crowns? It says, what happened to the crowns? The Gemara says, in this Gemara in Shabbos Peches, the crowns went to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi says, that's good for where Karen or Panav came from. And the whole guf of Moshe wasn't Stam a guf. It was Mamash Gegad Ar. It was a Nitzchistic guf. But even before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, it says, That Moshe Rabbeinu's guf, there's something miyuchad about Moshe Rabbeinu's guf. We'll see exactly how it is that Moshe Rabbeinu Taka does die. But there's some idea by Moshe Rabbeinu that sees that Moshe Rabbeinu can't die. So what is Hamatziku? If Moshe Rabbeinu does die, Moshe Rabbeinu dies. And Moshe Rabbeinu Gufu was the opposite of Amalek. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu Gufu, when they fight Amalek in Beshalach, right? Klal Yisrael wins over Amalek because they look at the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? We see Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a medrash that says, the Medrash says in Esther Rabbah, Parsha Zayin, it says that Hashem was mevatel the Gezeira to destroy Klal Yisrael because of the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it quotes the pasuk from Tehillim that the pasuk says, "Ayomer lahashmidam." Hashem says, "I said I would be mashmid Klal Yisrael, lule Moshe bechira amad b'peretz." It's not for Moshe standing up. So Moshe Rabbeinu b'chlal is the koach against Amalek. He's the one that Makasha Klal Yisrael to Nitzchis. So what does Haman see? He sees this is the month where even the Moshe Rabbeinu dies. You see, there's no tachlis. The Melo, with this we can stand something else about the tree, right? This tree that Haman wants to hang Mordechai on it. Well, there's another interesting medrash. Also an Esther Rabba Perek Tes. The Medrash, after telling us that this Eitz is referring to the Eitz Adath, so the Medrash tells us what type of tree it was that Haman used. So the Medrash says that all the different trees came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, please hang Haman on me. And every tree comes with its reason. It says that Klai Yisrael does this mitzvah with me. There's something special about each tree. Every tree says it has some special reason how much we hung on him. It says until the coats came. As the coat says, it is a tree with thorns. This thorny tree comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called the coat, or maybe some very big bush. But it's called the coat. It comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have no tachlis. No mitzvah is done with me. I have b'chlal no tachlis. He says, what am I doing in this world in the first place? So Hashem says, I'll hang Haman on you. So therefore it says that Haman made his tree out of the coat. I don't know exactly how it's possible. It's 50 amos high, but there's some coat tree that was 50 amos high, and on that Haman made his eighth. It's very interesting. School for this inner of coats has to do with Haman, right? That Haman is this inner of coats. That coat says he has no tachlis, and school for that's what he wants to hang Mordechai on the coat, to say that, look, Mordechai is also part of the coat. There's no tachlis to him. And B'chol, you find this in a number of places. You find Amalek is compared to a coat. You find this in the Krovitz for Purim. It's Hosafos Teshuvah Esrei from Rav Elazar HaKalia. He refers to Haman and Amalek as a coat. You find in Megillah, Darshan is the Pasuk Tachas HaNatzot Yale V'Rosh. The Pasuk Yishai says, in the place of the Natzot, which the first one explained there is a type of thorny tree, Yala Barosh, some other type of tree that's used in building. So the Gemara Darshan's in Megillah Daf Yud, Tachas HaNatzot, it says Zeh Haman, Yala Barosh, Zeh Mordechai. You find that Amalek and Haman is compared to a coat. It's an Indian of having no tachos. And emphasis, this is also part of the klala that comes after the Eitz Hadas. You see, part of the klala given at the Eitz Hadas, Hashem says to Adam Rishon, "V'kotz v'darder tatzmiach lach." Hashem says that thorns and thistles will sprout to you; that you'll plant, and thorns and thistles will plant. The Medrash in Pirkei Avot, Rav Elazar, Perek Yudalev, says the curse is that you're zorei achitim v'kotzer kotzim; that you're going to plant chitim, and you want to just get chitim, but together with the chitim, it's going to come out thorns and thistles. These kotzim. It's what are kotzim, but why are kotzim tak in the world? What kotzim are is a part of the klal of Eitz Hadas that Kilu shows that there's not a clear tachlis in the world. right? That you plant, and instead of having a tachlis to your action, your actions in this world don't show a very clear tachlis. Together with the tachlis that your actions have, comes close with darja, things that seem to have absolutely no tachlis. But that's the whole thing of the Eitz HaDaas, is that there's a mixture of tov and ra in the world. There's things that seem to have tachlis, but there seems to be things in the world with no tachlis, and that's the kotz v'dardar. And that's how Malik is this thing of kotzim. And here in Mamash, a beautiful vart, a beautiful gemara you could explain okay this. And I heard this from Rav Avram Schwartz from Baltimore. Mamash, a beautiful ha'ara. The gemara says in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, very interesting gemara. The gemara says that Rav Meir was a sofer, and when he would write Sifrei Torah, he would put kantum in his dio. He would put something in his dye to make sure that the dye couldn't be erased. And the Gemara says there, the reason why he did it was because he was afraid. He says, maybe a zvuv, a fly, is going to come and sit on a dalet, and it's going to take off a little drop of the dalet, and it's going to turn the dalet into a resh. So therefore, he was careful to always put kankantum into his deal. So it's very interesting. I mean, why does the Gemara have to tell us this? Right? You want to make sure it's not erased, because that will help preserve your Sefer Torah, that Hashem Chas V'Shalom lose letters. Well, why is it significant telling us this in that a fly will come, and the fly will turn a dalet into a resh? So first of all, what's the meaning of the dalet and the resh? Well, why would that be a dalet and a resh? So this we see, it's a medrash. It's in Vayikra Rabba, Parsha Yotes. The medrash says that, points out that there's a big dalet in Shema. That when it says Hashem Echad, the dalet of Echad is big. And the medrash points out that in Parsha Kisisa, the pasuk says Lo Tishtacha Vela El Acher. So the resh of Acher is a big resh. So the Medrash says, why? He says, because Chas V'Shalom, if you would change the resh to the dalet and make the Kel Acher into Echad, and the Hashem Echad into Acher, you'd be Macher of the whole world. That's the biggest fear, that you turning the dalet into the resh is to turn the Echad into the Acher. Right? And what's this inner of turning Echad into Acher? So you find that Zohar Kaddish says this is the whole inner of Amalek, that it turns Echad into Acher. The Zohar Kaddish says in Chelk Aleph, Daf Chav Tes, it says that El Acher is Merames Amalek. Why Amalek? So it's pointed out, the first point out that El Acher is Gematria Amalek. Same Gematria. And the Chalal Zohar says that this is the whole inner of Acher. That Klal Yisrael sees Hashem as Echad, that there's an Achdus, that everything in the world connects to an Achdus. That everything in the world that happens is connected to Echad. Everything's unified on some level. But Amalek sees that there's an Achad. There's things that seem to be not going along any plan to any unified Achdus. It's an Achad. It could be that's good for why Mordechai doesn't want to bow down to Haman, because Haman is the El Achad, Lo Tishtach Vel El Acher. So in Mele, it switches the dalet and the resh to a resh. And what switches the dalet to the resh? It's the zvuv. But the zvuv we also find is Amalek. We find this at the Tanchuma, it's also in Balaturim, in Parsha Zachar. It says that Amalek is compared to a zvuv. It's like a fly. It's a why a fly? We'll just check some first how it comes. And Medrash doesn't say any reason. So you see, the holding of a fly, we find it, the Gemara says in Brachos Samach Aleph, the Yitzhara B'chlal is compared to a Zvuv. It says, because the Pasuk says, Zvuve Mavis Yavishu, that the flies of death will stink. Flies hang around death. Right? Things that are smelly and death. Flies feed off of death. It's what's in the fly feeds off of death, and that's Amalek. Shad is that Mavis, things that have mavis, I mean, things that are dead and decaying, I mean, the things that don't have any key into that. They don't, right? Something that smells is because it's on its way to rotting. Right? Things that don't have a kiyum are called mace. So the zvuv amalek feeds itself. The zvuv feeds itself out of mace. I mean, the tzedakah wants things that don't have a tachlis. That's what attracts it. Things without a tachlis to them. And Mordechai, it's interesting that that's opposite. That the zvuv is attracted to things. Zvuv amalek have ishu. The zvuvim are attracted to things with a bad smell. Mordechai is good for things of a good smell, right? Mordechai min atayra minayin. The Gemara says mar dror. That the pasuk first one of the spices is mar dror, and the targum, the Gemara says the targum mar dror is mar dachya, says is Mordechai. That the rem to Mordechai is something with a good smell. Something with a good smell means it has a tachlis. Right? Bechlal, the whole we find bechlal the achil of a tzaddik when a tzaddik eats. He doesn't eat for the moment, right? For the mavistika world. He says that when a tzaddik eats, he's eating for a tachlis. And that's what the Gemara says in the Brachos Afiyot, that the Eishas HaShunamis, it says, saw that Elisha was an Isha Lokim Kadosh, it says, because she didn't see a Zvuv al Shulchana. When he ate, there were no flies around. What does it mean there's no flies around when he's eating? It means his eating is totally with tachlis. And he's eating with shaved tachlis, that he could do avodah, that he should have a nitzchias. If a chlal, if someone touches during a meal, if someone touches a place that's a smelly place or contact with soa, something with a bad reyach, so it gives a tumah to the yadayim becomes shnius l'tumah and needs until the yadayim, right? He can't eat. Right? If a chlal in Brachston Gimel says that there used to be a takana that before benching, after you eat, they would put perfume on the hands. It was in it that a chila should be l'shem tachlis. It's the opposite of a zvov. Zvov eats mother. Right, so that's a malik. A malik is a koach, a feeding off of mavis. His whole life is coming from feeding off of the misa that's in the world. It's attracted to the misa, things with no tachlis. So that's the zvuv. What does the zvuv do? It changes the echad into achar. Right, it turns the dalet into the resh. And Google makes it seem ki'il, there's an achar in the world and there's no achdus. The Bnei Sosker points out that this is gufa, the whole shayush of kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach. The kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach is that it seems that there isn't a tachlis in the world, that you work and thorns and thistles. So what's kotz v'dardar? So the Bnei Sosker says, that's the inyan. Dardar is dalet resh, dalet resh. That's the inyan of thistles in the world, is that it seems that there's no tachlis, that it goes from the dalet to the resh. There's a confusion in the world between the big dalet and the big resh. There's a confusion between the echer and the acher. That's the shayush of dardar, dalet resh, dalet resh. And what's the kotz? The Bnei Sosker, that's also dalet resh. Resh is 200. It says dalet is 4. So what's resh more over dalet? That's the suf of 196. 196 is kotz. The kotz is also that inyan of kotz with dalet tatzmiach lach. So that's from the Gemara. That the zvuv, he's afraid the zvuv is going to come. The zvuv is going to come and turn the dalet into a resh. So that's the story of Amalek. Right? Amalek is this attack on Klal Yisrael against Tachlis. Now, I just want to explain I'll see this what we've been discussing. We can understand a very enigmatic Indian in Chodesh Adar. Right? The main theme of Adar, of course, is Purim. But in Adar, we also have an Indian of the Dalet Parshios. Right? It's a little bit of a strange Indian. There's right, 4 Parshios we read. Basically, an Adar, starting from Adar to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's a very interesting thing. What do we have these 4 parashiyos for? Right, the Daskia here, right? The Daskia and Chodesh Adar, right? One after the other. It's very strange. Like, what's it doing? It happens to be each one. Maybe if you try hard, you could find some sort of explanation why it should be read in the first place. Shkalim Zachar Parah and Chodesh. Find a reason each one presses why it's read, but b'chlal, it's not a coincidence that found it happens to be here 4 parashiyos. So, what are the 4 parashiyos doing here? What's it for? B'chlal, it says in Yerushalmi, it's in this is in Megillah Gimel Hay. It says that the 4 parashiyos are connected to Arba Kosos. We're not going to go into this. How they're connected to the 4 Kosos, but it said that they're not just separate in Yanim. It's part of one Seder, the 4 parashiyos. If we look into any of the 4 parashiyos, we'll see that the whole thing of the 4 parashiyos is a preparation for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right? The last of the 4 parashiyos is Parashas Chodesh. And the Pesuk Rabbasi says, in the Parashas Chodesh, it has to do with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right? That four parashas are coming, it's a preparation that we're having a Rosh Hashanah coming, right? There's not so much fanfare to this Rosh Hashanah, right? It's not like Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei of Adar, the whole Yom Tov. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that was also a Rosh Hashanah. And what's the Rosh Hashanah for? It's Rosh Hashanah for Klal Yisrael. Right? It's the Rosh Hashanah of our Avodah. The Psikta Rabasi, where it has the whole drash on the Arab Parashios, it says the inner of Parashios Chodesh is that Chodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim. It's for you a Rosh Chodashim. The Medrash says it's for you the Chidshu Maseichem. That the Rosh Chodesh Nisan is for you to be Chidshu Maseichem, for you to be Mechadish your Maseichem. Right? That Rosh Chodesh is the Chidish, the Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Hashanah of the Avodah of Klal Yisrael. That the whole Avodah in the Mikdash has to be renewed on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Korbanos of the Tzibur has to start coming from Shkalim Chadashim. It comes from the new Shkalim. It's a new year of Avodah. That comes to Mishkan, was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right? They waited at the beginning of the Avodah should be on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that's why in Parshas Chodesh, even though the Medrash says the equal point of Parshas Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh itself, we have in it the whole mitzvot of Pesach. Right? Pesach is the first avodah of Klal Yisrael, and we're being told about what's the first avodah of Klal Yisrael, the beginning of our avodah. And that's why it says Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodashim, right? There's another Rosh Hashanah, right? There's Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. But what's that Rosh Hashanah? That's the Rosh Hashanah for the Umos HaOlam. Right, Malchei Goyim count from their years from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, whereas Malchei Yisrael, they count from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. How come? Because Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's Hashpah to the world. Right, it's for the Umos HaOlam, it's the Rosh Hashanah. That the Umos are mona to the Chama which is the Mashpia. But what's the Rosh Hashanah of Klal Yisrael? It's the Rosh Hashanah that we count in the Lovana, the Rosh Chodashim of Klal Yisrael, Lechem, that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So there's an Indian of Rosh Chodesh Nisan that we're supposed to be Mechadish ourselves. It's supposed to be a Chiddush that a person has in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That we're not just going through another year again, you know? It's the same thing every year again. No, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the person I say, I'm being Mechadish myself, I'm starting the Avodah over again. So what's the preparation for this? To prepare ourselves, right? We're at the end of the year, Adar. Adar's already the end. People already, they've lost their connection to Chiddush. So what's the preparation? So the preparation we'll see is these parashios. Right, so we'll start with Parashat Zachar. Right? Parashat Zachar, which we've been talking about until now. A group of Parashat Zachar is coming that you have to destroy Amalek in order to get to this Rosh Chodesh of Nisan. First of all, just point out, why is that Rosh Chodesh B'daf? Why is that Amalek B'daf is the end of the year? Right? Attacks an Adar. And what's Adar? He's able to get us an Adar. Adar is the end of the year. Right? It's all at the end. Right? B'chal Yisrael, the Midbar, that Amalek attacks the end of Klal Yisrael. It says, V'yizanei b'chal Yisrael nechasholam acharecha. Right? Those who are straddling at the end of Klal Yisrael, that's what Amalek attacks. Right, now Malkos attacks the end of the year. Adar, they're able to have an achiza in the achras of the end. Right, those people who are the stragglers at the end. So where's it coming from? How's he able to attack Klal Yisrael with after the year? So it says in the pasuk in Parshas Zachar, it says Amalek attacked you vata yef v'yageya. You were tired and worn out. That's what he attacks you. Right, and he's attacked in the Cheshal Machrech. These people are all tired out, they're pushed straggling behind. It's why B'dafka could Amalek attack the people who are Ayyat the Egeya? So along the thing we've been explaining, so we see what's the end of Ayyat the Egeya, that they're tired. You see the Ayyat is actually used only in one other place in Torah, and that's by Esav. Esav says, right before he gives up the Bechar, it says, V'hu Ayyat. He says, Ki Ayyat Anochi. Those are the only places Ayyaf is used in the Torah. He says, I'm Ayyaf. Right, so what does Esav mean that he's Ayyaf? Right, it's not that he's just tired. Rashi says it, that Ayyaf means he's Ayyaf because of Ritzicha. It says it quotes the pasuk of Ayyaf Lahargim. He says that the Ayyaf of Ayif, it wasn't Stam Ayif, it was because he had been out killing people that day. He came back Ayif. So what was it, Ayif? He said Ayif is a feeling of being worn out. Right? He's totally worn out. Right? It's like a depression. So he says, Halitaini na, give me something to eat. I'm Ayif. I'm mamish, depressed and worn out. He's just killed people. Right? Ritzicha is partially a very depressing type of thing to do. Right? He's going around seeing, he's killing people. He's seeing in front of him that there's no tachlis to life. You just kill someone. The person's alive 1 second, dead the next second. He comes in, he's all ayif, he's worn out. Gufa, that's what happened in the Midrash. It says, Bata ayif b'yegeya. That Amalek attacks you, you're ayif b'yegeya. There's some feeling of Klal Yisrael, that they're worn out, they're tired. They're not feeling the excitement of the tachlis. Right? The Mechilta points out that Amalek attacks and receives them. Refidim is the place that says why in Refidim, because they ruffle your day in that Torah. Their hands became weakened in holding on to the Torah. What does it mean their hands were weak in holding the Torah? So Rav Huttner explains that in this is that something that's very chashiv to you, you're interested in, you feel has a big tachlis to you, you hold on tight to it. Something that's like, that's not so chashiv anyway. So it's rough for you, Dayan. Right? That's where Amalek attacks. Right? We find the Medrash says on the pasuk in the Megillah that Haman says to Achashverosh, he says Yeshno Am Echad Mefor D'Mefuzer. So the Medrash says, why does he start with the word Yeshno? Yeshno Am Echad. So it says that Haman was telling Achashverosh, you could get Klal Yisrael now because they're Yashan, they're Yeshno, they're Yeshenim in HaMitzvahs. They're sleeping from the mitzvahs. What does it mean? Not that they're not doing the mitzvahs, but they're sleeping. They're sleeping in it. Is that? They're not doing it with excitement. They're not mamish feeling every mitzvah you do is mamish a nifty sick atachas. They're feeling that they're a gush of achas. They're worn out. They're really worn out. They don't feel atachas. They're burnt out. Right? That's when Haman could attack. So the Mele Gufa, as part of our build up to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, one thing we have to do is we have to destroy Amalek. We have to get out Amalek. Remember our hatred for Amalek. That there is a tachas. To destroy the kochus of Amalek that may have seeped into Klal Yisrael. So that's Parshas Zachar. What are the other two Parshas? Shkolim and Parah. Okay, so just try to briefly deal with each one what it's doing here. So the first Parshas Parah. Okay, Parah. Parshas says, right, Parah is coming to Mataharas from Tumas Misa. The Tum of Misa, Parah is coming to Mataharas so that we could start our Avoda. Right? Very, very Parshas. So what's the amkis of the whole parashat Paraduma? Well, Paraduma is addressing is a tumah that's the greatest tumah, the tumah the hardest to be metar, is the tumah of Misa. Right? So what happens? A person who comes in contact with death, he sees death firsthand, he's in awe with the mace, he touches the mace, he can't come to the mikdash. He can't have a connection to the mikdash. How come? So the Pasha Hezber is because he's goofa coming to an attachment with seeing Misa. This person sees Misa, and it makes the person feel a lack of tachlis. A lack of feeling of tachlis in Avoda. That's what's in this world that makes people feel a lack of tachlis. And a feeling of that there's no point. But they see Misa. You know, they see people dying, and they see, well, what am I doing? What am I looking forward to with my life? Yeah. You live, you're gone. 10 years, 20 years. Misa. And a person who sees that, Pasha gives a chalishus to the person. Well, what's the tachas in my life? So that's a tumah that needs a tahara. It's the fact of the Eitz HaDaas that needs something to be metakin. And what's the tikkun for that? The tikkun for that is paraduma. We'll see before I explain exactly what that tikkun is. We'll see parsha where we see that by paraduma. It's very interesting. The whole parsha of paraduma. Right? Very interesting midrashim about paraduma. The Medrash Rava says in the beginning of Chukas, it says that Shlomo HaMelech was able to understand everything in the world. He's able to understand every part of the Torah. He's able to understand the reason behind every mitzvah. Everything except for one mitzvah, paraduma. Paraduma, he saw that and he said, I have no shaykhus to understanding. So it's very interesting. Why paraduma? What's so unique, paraduma? I mean, l'chayra, if he's able to understand that the reason behind every mitzvah, So you can understand Paraduma also. I mean, why would Afka Shashem hide Paraduma? What is that Paraduma? That why does it have to be something that can't be understood? Right, so it's Mataris, Tzmeyim, and Matama Tahirim. So like, what? Okay, it's not so crazy. It's nothing else. And it doesn't make sense in the Torah. Why is that so amazing? That you can be metaher, that the paraduma, which is something that is tumah, you can bring tahara out of it. The emphasis is that we find there's a much more basic inyan that's shver about paraduma. The whole yisoid of paraduma, being metaher, tamei meis, is relating to an akuza that's very mufladek. And this is what the Medrash Rabbah says. This is the first Medrash in the Medrash Rabbah on Parashas Chukas. Says that there's a pella going on in Paraduma. The Medr says like this. It quotes a pasuk from Eov. The pasuk says in Eov, "Mi yitain tahor mitame." Who is it that could take out tahara from tuma? Who could take from something that's tame, take out something that's tahar? Hello echatu. Lo echatu. Hello echatu. Isn't it only the echad? The Medr says it means that who is possible of taking from something that's tame, bring out something that's tahar? It could only be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Echad. The something that Hashem's Echad kite is the one thing that could make something Tamei become Tar. And the Midrash goes on. The Midrash says, Mi yitain Avram miterach. Who could take an Avram from Terach? Mordechai mishimi. Mordechai a tzaddik from a Russia like Shimi. Yisrael me'umos ha'olam. He could take out Yisrael out of the Umos HaOlam, Olam Haba Me'olam Hazah. Who could do it? It says, who could do it? Hello Echatu. It's only the Yechud HaShalaylam. Right, so what's the Inyan? It's saying the Inyan of taking Tahara out of Tum is the Inyan of taking Tov out of Ra. Taking out of Rishayim could come something like an Avram Avinu. Something pure, total Tov could come out of something that's Ra. Right, you could take an Olam Haba out of an Olam Haza. Somehow, this world with this Tumah and this Ra mixed in the world could come out with something that's Tahar. Right, that's the whole idea of the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. The Eitz Hadas Tov Ra is it brings in this world that is Tov and Ra in this world, right? The world isn't just Tov, there's a mixture of Tov and Ra in this world. But what's the Tikkun to the Eitz Hadas? The Tikkun to the Eitz Hadas is to realize that there is no El Acher, that on some level, lastly, this is a Pella, everything's Echad. That even the Ra, which seems to be Echad, is really the Emes Echad. And that's the whole way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do this Pella. Mi Yitin Tame. It's a Pella HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of all the evil going on in the world, Gufa from there Hashem could create the ultimate Tachlas, the Echad, the Olam Haba, the biggest Madrega of Tov in the world, the biggest Hatov is Gufa going to come out of this Ra. And the Medrash ends that's the Pella of Paraduma, that out of Tuma you could get Tahara. Because right? What's the Pella? The Pella is, and this is what even Shlomo HaMelech can't understand, is that there's something above the Eitz Hadas, that we see in this world Tov and Ra, and Taka can't understand it. No one can understand it. What's the Tachlis of Ra? What's the Tachlis of everything? Right? There's Misa in the world, right? The biggest Ra from Eitz Hadas is Misa. We see the world, we see things happening, everything seems to be going to Misa, we don't see a Tachlis. Right? But to be able to come to understand that Gufa, this Ra, is an Echad, that Hashem is Ma'achirit with the Tov, that's the inner of the Tikkun. And that's the Tikkun of Paraduma, and that's something that's Mufla. Right? Something that Bechlal no one could understand. It's the Tikkun for the Tov and the Ra and the Bria. Now, what is it that a person does in the Paraduma? What is it, V'chlal? How can we approach, right? We by the can't understand the Yichud of Tov V'ra, right? We can't understand it ultimately. But what could we do, stand to deal with the Ra and the Bria? What could a person do when he sees Misa? And what could a person do after Misa to be able to come into the Mikdash? Right? How are we supposed to address V'chlal, the fact that we see Ra and the Bria? So we find that's also merumis in the whole Indian of the Paraduma. The first Rashi says in Parashas Chukas, Rashi says, Zos Chukas HaTaira, So it says, Chukas HaTaira, Choku, Ve'en Lechem Rishot Bahar Acharech. Now the Dafka Paraduma is set aside that it's Chukas HaTaira, it's a Chok, you can't be Mahara. It's a mitzvah you have to do without knowing any time to it. So we'll see that this is good for the Indian of how a person overcomes his contact with Misa. Is that a person sees the Tovah around the Bria, what does he have to do to come back to the Mikdash? It's not to be Mahara. Right? To say it's a chukah before me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it, I don't have to understand. You know, see, that's the whole tikkun to das, is to say, I don't have to understand it. I have a das that lets me see Tovah Ra. The response is, I don't have to go to selfie my das. I'm not going to be Mahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's Ra in the world? I don't understand it. I go weiter. I understand there's a tachlis to it. HaKadosh Baruch has a tachlis. I'm not Mahara. I'm a vatal, my das. There's an interesting Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota on Daf Yud Zayin is how are we zochus the mitzvah of Paraduma? So the Gemara says it's in the Zechus that Avraham Avinu said, Anochi offer ve'efer. Avraham Avinu was told him to vatal himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I'm offer the Eifer. And the chus of that, there was Zocha to the Eifer of Paraduma. By being the vatal, your das. But the Mechilta says in Shmini, what was the statement of Avraham Avinu, Anochi offer the Eifer? So Mechilta says he was being mastic the din. This shows that Avraham Avinu was mastic the din, so he said, Anochi offer the Eifer. And when's the statement made? It's made that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu about the din of Sodom. He says he's going to kill out Sodom. And Avraham Avinu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to find Zechus for Sodom. But before he presents his argument, he says, Vanochi offer ve'efer. He says, before I speak, Vanochi offer ve'efer. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to try to find Zechus, I'm going to daven for Sodom. But you should know, whatever you do, I'm not questioning. Vanochi offer ve'efer. That nakuda being with mastic the din, that gufa is a marker for where we got the mitzvah of para from. And the mitzvah of para is the ability of Klal Yisrael has when they see ra things that they don't understand to be able to say I'm a vatal my das. That's bechlal the mitzvah of para aduma. You find is what's the mitzvah? You're taking a para aduma tzimima, ashalo alo ol. That's this beautiful para aduma. Perfect. It was never used for anything. Doesn't seem to have ever been used for anything. It was never pulling an ol. And what are you doing with it? You're burning it. You're just destroying it. You're just destroying it. Why? Hashem said so. It's something that the etzem seems not to make sense. It's a nice part. What are you doing? We might find the midrashim that's the nakuda of the sreifas paraduma. It's showing, al pi Hashem, you do things even though it seems like there is no tachlis. It's a very interesting midrashim. Psikta Rabasi. It's in the whole part of Sikta Rabasi dealing with Parshas Para. So a very strange medrash there. It says, quotes the pasuk by Para Duma, it says, Vesara Vesa Para Es Ora Ves Besara. You burn the whole Para. It says, this is what it says, by Yisro Ves Beis Hashem Ves Beis HaMelech Ves Kol Bata Yerushalayim. That was a very strange medrash. It doesn't give any heads for that. It says, you burn the Para and the Ar and the Basar. That's what it says. In Malachim, that they burnt the Beis Hashem and the Beis HaMelech and all the Batim. Something that the Para is symbolizing the destruction that seems to be a meaningless destruction. Right, you find it's very interesting. We find that right after Para Aduma is Misas Miriam. Miriam died, and Rashi says this to teach us that the Misas Tzadikim is a kapara like a Para Aduma, like the Sreif of a Para Aduma. Because right, what's a Misa of a Tzaddik? A Tzaddik is someone who's been over his whole life and he's approaching Misa seeming to be an end. Could look like it's now to end. And the Tzaddik approaches it with no shyness. He approaches it totally tzimimus al pi Hashem. He allows Hashem to take his life. So the Mela, that's good for the Indian of a Kapara Paraduma. You see another interesting in Paraduma, it says in the Magen Avraham, in Aruch Chaim Tavkuf Pei, the mention of the Magen Avraham, he tells us that there's a tainus of tzaddikim on Erev Parshas Chukas. He says, how come? So he quotes the Tani Rabasi, which was written at the time of the Maram in Rittenberg. He writes that when the in the Tannaim of Nuremberg in France, there were 20 loads, 20 wagons of Sfarim that were burnt. So it was burnt on Erev Parshas Chukas. So the Tanya Rabasi says, quoting in the Magen Avraham, that therefore they were gozer on Yechidim a tainus on Erev Parshas Chukas. In order to remember these 20 wagons of Sfarim that were burnt, a tremendous loss to Klal Yisrael. And he says, why is it on Erev Parshas Chukas? Right? Why is it given a day like every other tzom has some date associated with it? Here it's always Erev Parshas Chukas. He says because they had a Tainus Chalom, and they were told that the Tainus should be on Erev Parshas Chukas because that was good for the inyan of this Sreifas Hasfarim. The inyan of the Sreifas Hasfarim was those Chukas HaTaira. It doesn't say those Chukas HaPar, it says those Chukas HaTaira. The good for the Sreifas HaTaira has something to do with the Sreifas of the Paraduma. So what's the inyan? The inyan is the inyan of the paradum is the inyan of being able to be makabel the Dvar Hashem and be makabel something without tachlis, some destruction that seems to have no tachlis, to be makabel. There's some tachlis out of this. Somehow tahara is going to come out of this. So that's the inyan. That's the tikkun for the Eitz Hadas. The tikkun for the Eitz Hadas is us saying we don't have to understand everything. Right, in Gufa, push just a little long. If anyone has to leave, just to finish off the Indian. Gufa, Amalek always attacks Klal Yisrael. Gufa, when they're questioning a Kaddish Baruch Hu, they're not being a battle for the Dvar Hashem. At the first place, they attack Klal Yisrael and Mefidim is right before Amalek comes. It says that Klal Yisrael questioned Hashem. They question Hashem. He says, "Lama Holy." They said there was no water for them to drink. They said, why do you take us here? And that place, it says, Refidim, it says they've got another name. The Torah says it's also called Masu Meriva. It's called Meriva. Why? Because they were rubbed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was fought with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what brought Amalek afterwards. Right afterwards, Amalek comes, and Amalek is able to get them. Go for this Indian that they've... They're holding an Eitz Hadas Tayyipa Ra. They're trying to understand Tayyipa Ra themselves. Right? We see the same meaning by Shaul HaMelech. When Shaul HaMelech attacks Amalek and fails to destroy Amalek, it says, Vayarav Banachal. The Lashon it uses, Vayarav, the Lashon of Meriva Banachal. So the Gemara says, in Yom HaChafez, what's this Lashon of Meriva? It says that Shaul is having a Meriva with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was his Meriva? It was Banachal. It was Al-Iskei Nachal. And it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, you commanded us a mitzvah part of Egla Arufa, right? That if you cause, somehow you have something to do with a person dying, you have to have a whole kapara of Egla Arufa, which is brought in a nachal. So he says, I don't understand. A life is so important. You're telling me to destroy out a whole nation and children? So he says, that was the vayarav b'nachal, that he was questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Gufa, that's what brought him to lose the Malchus. And he didn't destroy Amalek. He was weakened. He fell under Amalek. Gufa, by questioning, by having a Meriva with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This we see Gufa in Parashat Chukas. Right after Parashat Paraduma, right after that comes Mitzvah Miriam. What comes right after that? The water stops flowing, right? The Bar Miriam stops, just like in Parashat B'Shalach. The water stops in Parashat B'Shalach, you have Massa Meriva. The water stops in Parashat Chukas. And Klal Yisrael again is tested. They're tested to see if they've learned this lesson of Para. And what do you have? You have the whole parasha of May Meriva. Right? Again a Meriva. Again the same Meriva with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do we find here? Right? Klal Yisrael questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Gufa here, we find again Haman. Haman has an Achiza Gufa May Meriva. Because what does Moshe say to Klal Yisrael? He's Mochiach Klal Yisrael. He says, you think you know so much Klal Yisrael. You think you understand everything. You could question everything. He said to them, Shimu na ha-mayrim. Listen to me, ha-mayrim. Right? First tells them, listen, mayrim. What does it mean, Shimu na ha-mayrim? Rashi says that they're mayrim as morehem. That they tell their teachers what to do. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the mayra. He's teaching them. And instead of being a vassal, they're das, saying, maybe you know more than me. They're saying, no, everything has to be up to my das. They're mori moreya. He says, Shimon ha-mori. Hamin ha-tzela ha-zeh no-tzi l'chem mayim. Right? Hamin. Right? He asked them, he says, you know so much? So maybe you tell me, I'll pay your das. Is this the right thing to do? Should I bring water out of this rack? Right? So Yigufa asked them, everything's I'll pay your das. So Gufa the Baal Turim points out, says, this is the other remes to Haman in the Torah. Right? So Gemara tells Hamin ha'eit. The Baal Turim says there's one other Hamin in the Torah. That's Hamin ha'selah notzi l'chem mayim. Again, right here is the Shayush of Haman. That koch of thinking, it's totally on my das. Right, that's the first Hamin Ha'eitz, it's the same thing. Hashem's coming to Adam HaRishon, and they're saying, Hamin how do you know you're naked? Hamin Ha'eitz, Hashem Tzavisi Oschol Vilti Acholim En Ochalta. He says, he asks Adam, you know, Adam, what's going on? Maybe you can help me out. I need to know your opinion. What's going on? Maybe Yefen Eitz Adath? He's teasing him. He doesn't know. Because right, that's the Korach of Haman. Gufa to say, it's all my das. All that matters is my das. And Gufa, what happens? So the Baal Turim says, Gufa here comes the Misa of Moshe. Gufa for Mei Meriva is Nigzo, the Misa of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu also comes under Haman's Shlita, the Shlita of the Eitz Hadas. How come? Because he also isn't Mavatal himself to the Tzivah of the Kaddish Baruch. Hashem says to him, speak to the Rak. And there was some Dakistika influence that the Am had on Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu also, some Dakist level, he used his Seichel to say, to make a difference, I hit the rack. I mean, I talk to the rack, I hit the rack, maybe it makes sense I should hit the rack. And Gufa, from that mashuhu of Sheikhus that Moshe had to the Chet Eta Dach, Gufa, he got Misa there. Gufa, Haman was able to be Goyver over Moshe, and that's exactly what Haman said. He's so happy, he's going to kill Klal Yisrael in Adar, Gufa, the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died in, the month that he gets this Koyach over Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's Parshas Parah. Just very quickly, Parshas Shkalim. Okay? Parshas Shkalim is also the same Indian. Parshas Shkalim is also an introduction for fighting Amalek, right? The Gemara says in Megillah Yud Gimel that Hashem, when Haman says he wants to come to Hashem, says, I want to buy Klal Yisrael from you. So it says Hashem answered him, you can't possibly buy Klal Yisrael. They already gave me their Shkalim. Klal Yisrael already bought itself. They gave me Shkalim. They already mapped in their Shkalim. And that's why we read Shkalim before Zachar. The Koyach of Shkalim is something that saves Klal Yisrael from Amalek. Right? So what's the Koyach of Shkalim? So we see in the Nedivas for the Mishkan, when the Mishkan is built, the whole Mishkan is built Alpi Nedivas Halev. That's Gufa Nat Tzivu. Right? Whoever wants to bring, you want to bring, you bring what you want to bring. Right? I'll be whatever you bring. Hashem doesn't tell you what to do. After they bring it, it's a mitzvah with that, with the stuff that you give, build a mikdash. But there's no tzivah b'chlal to give. It's in, you do it to yourself. Right? And that's the whole Mishkan. And the Medrash points out, that's in a way a tikkun for the eagle. The eagle was awesome. Klal Yisrael gave their jewelry to the eagle. And a tikkun, the Medrash says they were giving their jewelry for the Mishkan. And the eagle, Klal Yisrael felt that they were doing something clearly not al-pi the tziva of Hashem, against the ratzon of tziva of Hashem. But they wanted to do something in their own sense, their own tziva, what they felt was right to do. And some level, they have the atikin to that, and that by the Mishkan, it's with the permission of Hashem, they're given permission to do tzivas halev. So that's the Mishkan. It's the whole Mishkan, except for the kesef of the Mishkan. Right, all the ingredients of the Mishkan are given in the Nedivas Halev, except for the Kesef. The Kesef, there's no Kesef given from the Nedivas Halev that's given to use in the Mishkan. All the Kesef from the Mishkan comes from the Shkalim. What's the Shkalim? It's not Nedivas Halev. Really. Hadalo Yamet, the Asher Lo Yarbe, everyone has to give, no matter how poor they are, how rich they are, no matter whether they want to give, they don't want to give, they have to give a Machzat HaShekel. Right? And that Machzat HaShekel is used. It's pointed out that the remez is used for the Adnei HaMishkan. The Adnei HaMishkan is the Indian of that Adonim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is an Adam. Right? That it's not just all free will, it's not all our nedivas, how we feel about things. Right? There's an Indian Hashem's the Adam. Hashem's the Adam, we're mevatel ourselves. We're mevatel ourselves. We're avadim to Hashem. We're mevatel ourselves. And that's the Indian that's used as the base of the Mishkan. The base of the Mishkan. It holds the whole Mishkan up. The Mishkan that's the Indian of nedivas. But it can't be that's just nedivas, right? Avodas Hashem can't just be out of our own feelings of goodwill. It has to be connected to this inyan of Tzivi Hashem. It's spotless to the Tzivi Hashem. Right? And that's good for also the inyan of Moshe. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki sisa es rosh B'nei Yisrael. So the Tanchuma says, Kisis Hashosh B'nei Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you will lift up the heads of Klal Yisrael, that every year when Klal Yisrael gives Shkalim, they'll remember you. Interesting measure. For some reason, B'dafka L'day Shkalim, we remember Moshe Rabbeinu. So why B'dafka Shkalim? That's the zichron for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that's the whole inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's whole inyan is his battle with Dvar Hashem, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the kol beisi nemanu. He's totally neman to Hashem. He doesn't swerve klal from the tzivri of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? He's the anav mikol adam. He's totally battle to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, because Purim always comes in parashas Tetzaveh, which is the parasha where we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the goof of Aram, which is in of the bittul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Lemaisa, he was Mace, but the closest one to overcoming Mace and standing against Hamalek is Moshe Rabbeinu. Is Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's totally battled to the Dvar Hashem. Right? So he's the one, by giving Shkolim, you remember Moshe Rabbeinu. Goof of the Medrash says in Vayikra, Rabba Parsha Aleph, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give anything to the Nedivus HaMeshkan. And he, Goof, was not that inyan of Nedivus. He's that inyan. So that's the inyan of Shkolim. That Shkolim's the inyan to prepare to fight Amalek. Hashem says to Amalek, you can't get Klal Yisrael because they give Shkolim. They have this inyan of above the Das, of the Eitz HaDas. And that's Goof for the Avodah of Purim. What's the Avodah of Purim? So in Purim, I'll just finish up. One of the mitzvahs of Purim is Chayv Inish Levsumi Adelo Yada Ben Baruch Mordechai L'Ar Haman. Goof for the Indian of drinking on Purim is this Indian of getting to that you don't have Das Ben Tovir Ra. You don't know between Baruch Mordechai to Ar Haman. You lose the Das Tovir Ra. You go above the Das Tovir Ra. That's the whole Indian of drinking. It's very interesting. The pasuk says in Mishlei that what good tachlis is there to drinking. So it says, "Tnu sheicher la'oved v'yayin l'maray nefesh." Give a strong drink to an oved, a person who feels that he's oved, he's destroyed, right? Achris adi oved, he feels that he has no nitzchias. V'yayin l'maray nefesh. Give yayin to the person who has meriras. Right? Because the person who's feeling under the Eitz HaDaas, he looks at the world, he sees that there's a mixture of tov v'ra in the world, there's mis in the world, he sees no tachlis in the world. He feels meriras, he feels that he's oved. The tikkun to that is to drink. So mamish drink adalo yada being tovir ra. So mamish be gola mala from the Eitz HaDaas. It's to be a battle, the Eitz HaDaas, it's to be zoicha to nitzchis.
Something, the elevation thing. I can't remember how much was quoted from the Gra or not, but I saw it's in a Mima Makam. I don't remember where.
So where?
You know, it's one of Mashpira's students, Mima Makam.
Oh, really? Really?
It's in one of Parshas and Shmos, I think.
Ah, it's just from the text there.
And I think he even quotes the Pshat and the Gemara there from the Gra.
Really?
I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, that'll be very nice. It's in Shmos.
I think so. It's like from a long time ago.